for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, December the 25th, 1989. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Monday evening service.
You know, we're very fortunate to just get to come here and be with one another and just come before the Lord and to gather in His name. You know, I wouldn't want the responsibility of this place. I live down here near Glen and Irma a year and a half, and it's an awesome responsibility. And Glen and Irma don't take that responsibility lightly. They put everything they have into it. And tonight I just ask you to give as the Lord give unto you. And let's give our best to Him. You know, it's a real blessed thing to come where truth comes forth. There's a lot of people in the land today that has a message and that has a word. But you know, the real word of God will set us free. And the real word of God will get inside of us, and it will uncover and it will expose and it won't condemn. You know, when Jesus when sinners had a confrontation with Jesus, His word was, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And it's a blessed thing when the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, gets inside of us and starts rooting up and uncovering all the things that are there that are keeping us from His fullness and keeping us from the throne. Because God's purpose for us is the throne. He desires nothing less than that we would sit with Him in His throne. And there's a lot of garbage that we're all carrying around that's not going to be there. It's not going to be there. Either we're going to submit to the Lord and get down to business with Him and get honest, or we're not going to be there, one or the other. Because God's not lowering His standards for us. He's not going to do it. Religion lowers its standards to society. God has a standard, it's a pattern, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that pattern was set before the foundations of this world. And it's not going to be reduced at all. That glory is going to come forth, and it's going to come forth in a people, a many-membered body. And we're blessed that we can press into that. And you know, when we came to Lake Hamilton, my wife and I kind of lived in fantasy land, never land. You know, always looking for bigger and better and thinking that God was just going to bless everything we put our hand to because we said, "Lord, bless it," and because the Word said it. And there's a lot of people quoting the Word, quote, unquote, that is nothing but rhetoric and rote. It's not a living Word, and that's what we were doing. We were eating and feeding on death, and we hit bottom. We went all the way down. But you know, it's not a bad place to be. It's not a bad place to be. And it's a blessed thing to go to the valley and to meet the Master in the valley. Because His goals for us are lofty and they're high. But we're not going to go there in our own strength and in our own wisdom and our own understanding. We're going to go in His. And you know, it's a blessed thing to have the Lord set His blessing upon us. Because when it's set, as Brother Jack Harris said, God done it. And nobody's going to move it. You know, I know that the blessing is upon Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. I know that the Lord has established this place so that people like you and me can come and get cleaned up and get set free and come to learn of the kingdom. And you know, let's not just learn. Let's not be just hearers of the word, but let's be doers. Father, we just bow our hearts before you. We quiet ourselves before you, Lord. Lord, we just come and we inquire of you. Lord, we come and inquire, Lord, in your temple. And we seek, Lord, your will, Lord, tonight. Lord, we seek the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, Lord, in all that we do. Lord, first we come and we give ourselves to you. We give of ourselves, Lord. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you just lead each of us, Lord, in what you would have us give, Lord, to this place, Lord. Lord, we're not giving it to Glenn and Irma Miller. We're not giving it to Lake Hamilton Bible Campground. But we're offering it unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord Jesus, we just ask, Lord, that you just take, Lord, the little bit that we have to offer here tonight, Lord, and that you break it and you multiply it, Lord. And Lord, may it bring forth much fruit, Lord, of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you bless, Lord, each gift and bless the givers, Lord, as they give. And Lord, I ask that not one person, Lord, go away from here the same as they came. Lord, that all that need deliverance are delivered. All that need building up are built up. Lord, those that need loved are loved. Lord, it said that God so loved the world that he gave. And Lord, we just pour ourselves out to you tonight. And we ask you to bless, Lord. Bless abundantly, Lord, by thy great Spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in this day and time, if we're going to go on and if we're going to please God, we need God's anointing. And there's a lot of people running around and they think they're doing God's work and they don't have God's anointing. And they've got a false word and they're leading a lot of people into bondage. And you know, I'm just going to share a couple scriptures. The first one is in Luke 4:18. This was very early in Jesus's ministry. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And I think this is an acceptable year of the Lord. And this is what the gospel should be doing if it's going forth under the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it does us good to fail. It does us good to be in situations where the Lord tests those things that we hold as truth. All the things that we believe, I believe the hour is come when God is going to put us in the laboratory of life, and those things are going to be tested to see if they'll hold up or not. Because we can talk a lot. But when it's time to stand up and put it to the test, what we have, if it's the anointing, it's going to stand the test. And if it's not, it's not going to stand. And we're going to go under. It's that simple. You know, we're living in an age where everything is acceptable. We adjust everything to meet whatever the situation is. I recently sat down with a pastor after we had gone through some things in a church that really troubled me with quote-unquote Christian rock music in the church. And people who claim that every time they pray for somebody, somebody's healed. And if they aren't healed, that's the person's fault. But when I pray, they're healed every time. And I see them take a crippled man across the back of the church and say, "Now, brother, just say, just only believe all things are possible to him that believed." And the man went away just as crippled as he come. And probably hard because he come expecting something and he was very disappointed. And I sit down and I asked the pastor, I said, "You know, what do you think about this Christian rock music?" I said, "My kids are turned off by it. They don't even want anything to do with it and it's being forced upon them." And he said, "Well, you know, the leaders, some of the leaders like it and their kids like it. And, you know, it's probably okay for them." And I said, "But what do you think? You're the pastor." "Well," he said, "I don't like it." And I said, "Then what's it doing in the church?" Well, you know, if I take a stand, somebody's going to be upset. If I don't take a stand one way, you're going to be upset. If I take it the other way, they're going to be upset. And then he went on and said, you don't know what most of the families in this church are going through. He said they've got marriage problems. Their families are in turmoil. I said, no wonder with that garbage in their house. And I said, brother, I said, you better have a word from God, and you better stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. And that's it. You know, we have to know. And if we have the anointing of the Lord, we're going to know. Because the Holy Spirit's going to bear witness with our spirit that it's life. And we shouldn't just be going through the motions. I played games a lot of years. I played church. I played feeling good. If I felt good, it had to be a God. No. I've learned a lot of things for God, and they don't feel good at all. They hurt. They hurt bad. And you'll find out that the religious people are the ones who are going to criticize you the most when you're hurting the most. Because they judge you. You're not walking in faith. You're not walking in faith. If you just apply the word, you wouldn't be going through this stuff. But I tell you, the word is only living as long as it's been wrought in us by the Holy Spirit. Then it becomes a living word. Because I lived it. The Lord took me through something, and he proved me his word. And then it became life in me. It wasn't life until I went through it and it was tested. And then it stuck. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. The Lord Jesus Christ, as Linda said this morning, experienced everything that we experienced. That's why he was a high priest that could have compassion and could minister and could make intercession on our behalf. He'd been there. He'd been there. We're not going to walk anywhere where he hasn't been already. And you know one place he's been, and that's to Calvary. And if we want to go to glory, we're going to go on that same path. If we want that anointing, we're going to go that same path. And you know, there's not much being taught anymore about repentance. You know, Glenn talked last night about some of the old-time prayer meetings that lasted half of the night. And you know, there was a lot of repenting that went on at that time. We were in a church in Nebraska where the pastor got up and got down on his knees in front of the altar and mocked people that week before the God. And he mocked it. I mean, he just boo-hooed. This is just what they sound like. And all it's ever done is ruin carpet. That's what he said. And we need to find the altar. And we need to weep before God. Because, you know, we like to talk about the kingdom. But the first thing Jesus said is repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's where it starts. You know, I learned one thing about deliverance. When I started repenting, I started getting deliverance. You know, and when you're ready and you want to get rid of that stuff and you start having a godly sorrow, those demons aren't going to stick around. But if we like them and there's no sorrow for it, they've got a right and they're going to stay there, and we aren't going to have any power over them, period. Let's turn back to John 7:38, and this is the 7:37. This is the scripture, the song we were singing about this: out of our innermost being, rivers of life will flow. John 7:37, it says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man thirst, and you know that's conditional, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And if that's flowing out of us and it's living, it's going to bring forth life. It can't help but bring forth life. That's the anointing. It said, but this spoke he of the Spirit, whom they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, Jesus is glorified. Jesus has been set as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you and I individually have to crown him. We have to glorify him in our lives. His glory in our lives is going to go as far as our wills have allowed him to. As much as we have chosen to have him Lord, he's going to be Lord to that level and no further. And you know, if you know, the Lord, I started seeking the Lord a while back because I knew there was something wrong in my life. There wasn't a flow anymore. There wasn't a hunger anymore. There wasn't that life anymore. And the Lord said, your wells are stopped up. Your wells stopped up. You know, it says there should be a river of living water, but my wells stopped up. And let's turn back to, I'm going to make a quick stop in Jeremiah 6:16. And it says, thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk in it, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. You know, and that's what much of the church world is saying today. We will not walk in it. We will not. We will not. The same pastor that I talked to loved a ministry there that was anointed. He loved it. But to choose and to turn and walk in that old path that was laid out, he would not do it. He would not do it. But yet he says, well, I've got the word in me and I've got life in me and I've got a ministry. We have nothing without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we need to learn that, and we need to learn that and be aware of that every day. Jesus said, I can do nothing apart from my Father. Nothing. Nothing. You know, the Lord, when he told me my wells were stopped up, I went and got my Bible out and I turned back to Genesis. And it's in chapter 26, the story of Isaac, who was known as a well digger. And I just want to read a couple verses and then I'll sit down and shut up. In verse 12 there, and I think this is interesting because, you know, we talked about coming into the kingdom and coming into a hundredfold blessing. And in verse 12 there it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. If the Lord's blessed it, we don't have to worry what fold of increase it's going to be. It's going to be blessed. But it didn't stop there with Isaac. You know, I think sometimes when the Lord blesses us, we want to sit down and enjoy it and just put our feet up on the easy chair and sit back and thank you, Lord, I enjoy the blessing. But you know, after that, Isaac ran into some trouble, and he had to go out and do something. And it says there in verse 13, and the man became great and went forward and grew until he became very great. You know, we shouldn't be satisfied with becoming great. We should want to become very great in the Lord. We should never be satisfied with where we are, because that leads to complacency, it leads to apathy, and it leads to pride. And it says, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. You know, I think that when the world sees someone that's blessed of God and anointed of God, they envy that person. They might not agree with them. That person might make them very uneasy, but they envy what they've got. They envy it. Then it goes on in verse 15, it says, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And the Lord said, that's what happened in your life. The enemy has come in and he's put a lot of garbage in the well. That living water that's in there is pure. It's good. There's nothing wrong with the water. But that channel in which it should flow is not allowing it. It's blocked. It goes on there and it says, Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. Have you had anybody say to you lately in your fellowships, go from us? Get away from us? You bother us? When you start getting your wells unstopped, there's going to be people that's going to be uncomfortable around you. And then there's going to be people that are going to get mad. They can't stand that anointing. You know, I didn't understand what Antichrist was until I saw it. You know what Antichrist is? It's against the anointing. Anywhere there's an anointing, that Antichrist is going to rear up right against it to stop it. And I don't care if it's in the lowliest servant in the body of Christ, if they're flowing in the Spirit, Antichrist is very much threatened. Very much threatened. I've seen that spirit twice now in churches. I was shocked by it. I'd heard people preach about it, but I had never seen it. And now I know what it is. It's against the anointing. It's against that flow of the Spirit. Satan isn't threatened by good religious teachings. He's not threatened by good Bible teachings. But he is threatened when the kingdom of God comes through his people. And that only comes through the anointing. That's it. You know, we can sit in our heads and we can reason and we can debate and we can figure things out. But only the Lord Jesus Christ can set people free. Only him. Only him. It says, and Isaac departed from there, that's verse 17, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. You know, we can't live off of the religion that our parents have. We can't expect our parents or somebody else to walk this walk for us. Sure, there's people that are going to open up these wells of living water to us, and they're going to feed us and they're going to water us, but we just can't live off of them. We can't live off of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We're going to have to walk this thing out ourselves. And our wells are going to get stopped, but we got to unstop them. We have to choose to do that. It says, and he called their names after the names which his father had called them. I think that's walking in those old paths. You know, the truth of God is forever. It's forever. From generation to generation to generation. And I think that we need to go back and we need to look and learn the ways of God. I think we're in a generation that don't know the ways of God. They don't know God. I asked that pastor, I just told him, I said, you know, I says, these things are not of the Spirit. He says, how do you know? How do you know? I couldn't believe it. I mean, this guy says he's Spirit-filled. And he didn't know. He didn't have an opinion. We should know. If we have that unction, we have that anointing, we know. If we have eternal life, we know. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to be fooled. It says, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And you know, if we're in the valley tonight, let's not see how fast we can get out of the valley. Let's start digging. And let's get that well of water that's springing unto life. You know, it's not... I used to feel real condemned because I had problems. I used to feel real condemned because I wasn't holier than someone else or I didn't have a ministry. But you know what? When I learned to get honest before God and to get honest with God's people and to repent... You know, it's not bad to have problems. It's not bad to be defeated. It's bad to stay with your problems and stay defeated. We learn by defeat. We learn, Jesus learned by the things he suffered. And we're going to learn that way. And you know, let's not worry about getting deliverance. Let's just let the Lord deliver us. The first time I came down here, I went home and my head was spinning about 1,000 miles an hour. And I thought, boy, those people in Arkansas are all crazy. I'd heard they were, but I saw it for myself. But you know, my wife got healed the first trip we were healed, or we were here. And if she wouldn't have, she'd been dead right now. She was just dead when we drove up. And the Lord started to convict me for being judgmental. And I was out in the motorhome one day, and my wells were all stopped up then. You know, I couldn't get in the Spirit and get happy like I used to. I couldn't reach the throne anymore. It was just bouncing off the top of that motorhome. And the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it? He says, get out a piece of paper, and I'm going to tell you. Because I had said in my heart that this deliverance stuff for all these poor suckers that need it. You know, I'm on easy street. I'm spiritual. The Lord said, start writing. And I filled two columns right down the page, 8.5 by 11, narrow ruled notepad. And the Lord said, you're going to go back over there and you're going to go back over there with a different attitude. Because I knew this, you know, I was guilty on all counts. And he says, you're not going to be choosy about who's going to minister to you either. He says, you'll just accept whoever comes along. And the deliverance service started, and my demons started manifesting. And Irma come and laid hands on me, and she went right down my list on both sides of the column. And I tell you, I left set free, and I left humbled. But I tell you what, my well got unstopped. And what we need to do is we need to cherish the presence of God in our lives. There's too much emphasis on signs and wonders and miracles and gifts. And if we follow after those things, we're going to be deceived. I told the pastor in that church when he told me this one fellow had signs and wonders in his life, I said, the fruit's not there. I don't buy it. That's not of God. It's not the fruit of Jesus that comes forth in his life. I want to see how he treats his wife. I want to see how he takes care of his kids. I want to see how he does his job every day at work and how he conducts his life's affairs. I'm not going to buy everything I see and what comes out of people's mouth. I'm not going to buy it because I used to buy it. Somebody come along and said they were a man of God or a woman of God and they had all these great signs and wonders and stuff. I just bought it hook, line, and sinker. No more. No more. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. And if everything we do, we can't do it out of love, we best not do it. We best not do it. You know why? We're going to hurt people. We're going to turn them off to the Lord. Because it said when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. And our ministry ought to be this Christ within us, moving out with compassion to those that are hurt, those that are hungry, those that are bound. And the only way we're going to do that is get our wells unstopped. And I don't want to condemn anybody tonight. I wanted to encourage you. Don't settle for the lower level. Don't settle for it. Don't buy it. There's more. There's more. There's more. And you know this, there's nothing like the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing breaks the yoke. We need to flow in the Spirit. We need to get lost in the Spirit of God. When we come together as believers, we should touch the throne. And the throne should touch us. And something should happen. And we should bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we hear a lot about praise and worship. I looked up worship. You know what it said on the definitions of the Greek and the Hebrew both? It says to fall prostrate before God. In reverence, in honor, in fear, in a good fear. And a lot of stuff we see that's called worship's not worship at all. And when we see Jesus, we're going to fall at his feet and we're going to worship him. You know, it says when we see him, we're going to know him. And you know, we're going to be like him because he's going to change us. And that's what deliverance is all about. I heard a lot of teaching about the kingdom before I ever heard deliverance. But you know, there's not any of us that are going to come into the kingdom unless we submit to the deliverance ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not going to be any more big eyes. Come to me, I've got all the answers. No, those days are over. They're over. They're over. The army of the Lord is going to walk arm in arm. They're going to be in rank. You know, one thing about an army, they've all got the same uniform on. Nobody's going to stick out. There's not going to be any big shots in that army. But I tell you what, that army is not going to be stopped. That army is going to have ears that hear, and they're going to have eyes that see, and they're going to be those that are loyal. The Lord told me, he says, I don't draft you into my army. This isn't a draft. He said it's an invitation. We have to make our calling and our election, sure. He's given us the invitation, but it's up to us to make the grade, to meet the rank. And we're not going to come in with sloppy agape. And we're not going to come in and name it and claim it. We're not going to come in where we don't suffer. This army is going to be well disciplined. It's going to be well trained. It's going to go straight forward. And they're going to have the anointing of the Lord. You know, I think that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. That kingdom come in me is when I've got a well that's unstopped and the Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne of my heart. And I'm obedient unto Him, and I'm yielded unto Him, and I'm in tune with Him. And when He says stop, I stop. When He says go, I go. When He says shut up, I shut up. You know, I think one of the greatest things that we could have as children of God is an ear to hear. Now, I've managed people for 15 years. You know one thing I've learned? You learn a whole lot if you just sit down and listen. Just listen to what people say. And you know, there's no greater way to tell somebody you love them than just to listen to them and to care how they feel, where they're at. What's hurting in them? We don't have to tell them, well, we've had this great deliverance ministry. Let me pray for you. Or I know this person that does. You know, let me take you over to them. Let's get with Jesus. And let's get so we know the voice of the Father. And then let's go out and have an ear that hears what the Spirit's saying to the church today. Let's not massacre people. Let's love them. Let's have this anointing. Let's get our wells unstopped and let this flow come forth. You know, it talks about a river of life. And I think the Lord wants us to have that river of life. Waters to swim in, it says in Ezekiel. You know, I don't want to have an ankle deep relationship with the Lord. I want it just to come over my head and totally engulf me in the Spirit. That I might be able to flow in Him. You know, I've tried to swim against the current. It don't work. It don't work. And all I want is His fullness. Is His fullness. I know so much less today than I knew 2 years ago. I used to thought I know a lot. Really thought I knew a lot. And I don't know anything. I don't know anything. But I want to know Him. I want to have that same desire that Paul had, that I might know Him, that I might attain unto that high calling. That's my desire, is to attain unto that high calling and be one with Him and to bring glory to His name. You know, that's what's important, is that we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that we glorify Him. And I just want to encourage you tonight, just to seek His face and just to get lost in Him. And don't worry about it. Let Him do it. It says if we desire, if we will do His will, we'll know it. If we'll do it, we'll know it. If we got a heart to serve Him and to please Him, we're going to know what His will is. Because He's going to make sure we do. So I just encourage you just to seek the Lord and to walk with Him. Thank you.
In Leviticus chapter 19, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy. For I, the Lord your God, am holy. And across the page, it says in 20 and 7, it says, sanctify therefore yourselves, and be ye holy, for I am holy. The Lord your God. The Lord is requiring of us that we require of ourselves to be holy unto the Lord. And over in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says in verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And then what does it say? Because it is written. And we've already read where it was written in Leviticus. It was written. And here it's picked up. Peter picks it up and he says, be ye holy, for I am holy, because it is written. And that's God's requirement for us, that we be holy because he says so and it's required of us. And James was expounding unto us that we are to be holy. That was the whole context of what he was saying. That we are to be a people that is holy unto the Lord. What? In all manner of conversation, in our deeds before men, that not what we say, but what we live is holy unto the Lord. It's not what I'm going to say to somebody that's going to affect them, really. It's how my life is going to be before them that I will be affected, that they will be affected by me. So the Lord is requiring us to determine in our own hearts and lives to be a people of holiness before him. And a few weeks back, in fact, the last of October it was, I was reading and studying a little bit, and a thought crossed my mind, and I began to think on it and search on it. And turn with me over to Genesis chapter 1, if you want to. And we all know what it says, because it says the same thing in the book of John. And it says here, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And in chapter 2 and verse 4 it says, "And these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heaven, the earth, and the heavens." And my thought was, why did God do that? Why did God create the heavens and the earth? And why did he create the universe? And I was wondering about that. And in the 26th chapter, verse of Genesis 1, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And then what did he say? "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Well, but did God create man just to look after the things that he created on the earth? I thought, I didn't think so. And I thought about these things for quite a while, several days. And all at once, an answer came to me. And I found that answer in the scriptures 4,000 years after what we have just read took place. Well, we don't know when this took place. When we know that the beginning. We don't know when God created the universe or when he created the earth. And in my opinion, he is still creating the universe, in my understanding. It isn't finished yet. But what is God's purpose in all of that? Why did he create the universe? Why did he create the earth? Why did he create man? For 2,500 years, there wasn't any record until God gave it to Moses to put down. 2,500 years down through into history, then God had Moses record creation and what he had done. But up until the time that God had Moses put it down, there wasn't any record. The only record was as it was handed down from mouth to mouth through the family line. Now, and Noah brought over and told his sons, and his sons was on the other side, and they knew, and they told their children and so forth. And that was the only record that came down to Moses. But God gave Moses the record straight. It wasn't twisted by hearsay and by what they'd heard somebody else say. God gave it to Moses straight, just as he wanted us to have it. Because if Moses had to put it down from what tradition had brought down, it would have been so twisted that we wouldn't have been able to say it was or was not true. So God said, "Moses, you write this." And God said to Moses what to write. And then Moses did what God said. We have some in ancient history. There is some records that say, whether they be so or not, that that Enoch was had a great understanding of the universe and of mathematics and science and these things, and whether that be so or not, I don't know. But some ancient historians contend that this be so. God had had a purpose in His creation, and in Genesis 31, chapter 1 and verse 31. He says, and God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. So God said what He made, He did a good job of it. He made it good. And it wasn't bad. He made it good. And verse 28 says, and that God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and do what? And have dominion. What did He say? To have dominion over God's creation. He gave man that right. But man lost that right. He lost that right that God had given him. And why did he lose that right? Because Satan usurped authority that was not his, because he wanted for himself what God had created, and he wanted to take God's purpose and turn it to his own self. And what was God's purpose? We haven't gotten to that yet, have we? But Satan will fail and has failed in what he determined to do. But he's still trying, but he still has failed. And Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 gives us a little glimpse here into God's plan. But really, this is just part of his purpose. He says, and I will put warfare between thee and the woman, Satan, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So God had a plan that he put into effect. And we see the consummation of that plan 4,000 years later at Calvary, of that part of the plan that he said here, that his the head would be bruised, and that part of God's plan was fulfilled at Calvary. There was an atonement made through Jesus for my sins and for yours, and he made an atonement that we might be brought back unto the Father and unto Jesus, through Jesus, and back unto Jesus. And it was made at Calvary through a blood covenant that began here in Genesis, in Genesis 3, and was carried down with the 21st verse. The blood covenant began, and it was carried down, fulfilled at Calvary. But in Matthew chapter 27, and verse 33, is the fulfillment of that blood covenant. And when they were come unto a place called, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. And that just fulfilled there the blood covenant that God had made. And he and the Son of God became the fulfillment of that blood covenant for you and me, that we might have redemption through the Lord Jesus. And verse 46 says, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that portion of God's plan was fulfilled. Now, over in John chapter 19, keep your hand in Matthew because we're going to come back there in a moment. In John 19, and verse 30, it again tells us the same thing. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And that portion of God's plan was finished and sealed in the Lord Jesus. Now, in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 10, there are three words. It says, "Thy kingdom come." And as I was thinking on these things, I happened to read right here. And when I got to that 10th verse and read those first three words, I knew the purpose of God's plan for creation. God's plan for creation was "Thy kingdom come." That's why He created the universe. That's why He created man. It was for His kingdom. And His kingdom is for kingdom for His Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's God's ultimate plan and purpose for the universe and for you and me. It's for His kingdom to be fulfilled for His Son, the Lord Jesus. And our purpose is to be subjects in that kingdom if we want to. We have the privilege of being subjects in the kingdom of the living God. But God gives us the privilege. And every one of us have a right to accept Jesus as our Savior and apply and appropriate His blood for the remission of our sins. And then when we do that, it gives us the privilege to be part of God's ultimate plan for creation, His kingdom. Salvation is a byproduct of God's plan for His kingdom. Salvation is not God's ultimate goal for His kingdom. God's ultimate goal is that through Jesus there would be subjects for His kingdom, and that there would be those who would have the privilege of being accepted into that kingdom through the shed blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus. But His ultimate purpose is to have a kingdom for His Son. The universe, the earth, and all that's contained therein is for "Thy kingdom come," that Jesus shall be Lord of lords and King of kings for His kingdom, the kingdom of the living God. The subjects of God's kingdom, to rule with God and rule with Jesus, will have to desire that place of rulership. God wants subjects for His kingdom, but He wants only those who will desire to be subjected unto Him through His Son, Jesus. And if we come to that place, then we're going to have to put our all on the altar and say, "Jesus, it's You and nothing else." And there's not a one of us that's been able to do that yet. But we should make that our ultimate goal of life, that we shall be counted worthy to be part of the kingdom of the living God. I don't want to just be a subject in the kingdom. The Bible says that whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus shall be saved. And I appreciate that, and I thank the Lord for that, because if it weren't for that, there wouldn't be any of us that would be here tonight. But then there is beyond that, the kingdom of the living God, and those that He's looking for to rule and reign with Him in the kingdom. Such a high calling that we cannot fathom what that means in eternity. We cannot, my mind cannot fathom. And I think on some pretty far out things sometimes when I get to thinking in these lines, which would not be practical to even talk about sometimes. I don't mind an individual, but like this, they go away and say, "I said some crazy things," and that. But if you try to think and fathom on God's kingdom of eternity and the universe and what the purpose of it is and why He created it, or even why He created man, if you think on them, you can come up with some pretty far out imaginations. And whether they be true or not true, time will tell. But we need to think on these things that God has offered a possibility unto us. And then we need to desire these things. And we need to determine in our hearts that I want to achieve unto that place in God that I see that there is a possibility to obtain to. And what does God say? He says it to the overcomer. 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 So there's an overcoming and an overcoming and an overcoming and an overcoming and an overcoming. And there are 8 times in the book of Revelations where God says that he has something to give to the overcomer. But who is the overcomer? It's those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are in the household of faith. God says that that's the overcomers. He says that those who sigh and cry for the abominations in the household of faith, that he'll mark them in their forehead with a mark. And then when the tribulations and things come, that they will be protected from the angels who bring forth the tribulation in the earth. Oh, you'll be in it. You may even lose your life in it. But you won't lose your life. You will gain your life if you lose your life. If you're marked with the mark of the overcomer by the man clothed in linen with the writer's inkhorn by his side that God said to go through the church and mark those he found sighing and crying for the abominations that were in the church. And let us be ones who are sighing and crying and see the abominations that are about us and sigh and cry before the Lord, between the porch and the altar, and stand in the gap. The Lord said that he looked for a man, a boy, a girl, a woman, to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and he couldn't find any. Today, let it not be said that God can't find somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Let us determine that we're going to be one that he can find standing in the gap and making up the hedge. And that we'll stand against the abominations that we see and hear. We'll pull down the princesses in heavenly places. We'll pull them off their thrones and put them under feet. And loose the bonds of Satan and set the captives free. That they shall rejoice in the things of the Lord. God's called you and me. He's called every one of us to be a deliverer in Zion. That's God's purpose now, that we be a deliverer in Zion. But his ultimate purpose is that there will be a kingdom for his son with subjects in that kingdom. And then there's a place in that kingdom for his subjects that he says, to those who overcome, he'll give all these things. I'm not going to read them, but there are 8 of them. There are 8 places in Revelation where it says, to him that overcometh, one of them says, that you'll sit with me in my throne and you'll be my son. What higher place, what greater calling could there be than our purpose to be an overcomer, that we might be called the Son of the Living God, that we might be part of that ruling and reigning over the universe that God has created. God didn't create this earth and this universe and then other universes that far exceed this one just to put them out there. I do not believe that. He didn't need those other universes out there for this universe to operate. It could have operated just by itself. He didn't need the rest of them out there. But God has a plan somewhere in eternity for those that desire to be part of God's kingdom. God has a plan for you and me out there someplace in eternity in the universe that he's created. And I intend to visit to the farthest ends of God's universe. I don't know how many millions of years it's going to take, but time will be no matter. But I intend a visit to the farthest eons of God's universe and see why he put it out there, and we'll know. He'll let us know. And to examine the beauties of God's creation. And what he's got out there for us, we'll find out. But he's created for a purpose. And when the Lord prayed here, "Thy kingdom come," he was praying that God's kingdom would come and be a reality and that men would understand that God's purpose
in the universe and in the earth and in man was that there be a kingdom for his son Jesus, who was to be King of kings and Lord of lords of this earth and the universe, and that we are to be subjects of that kingdom. And by his grace and through the atoning blood of Calvary, he made provisions that you and I could come and be part of his kingdom. In Obadiah, oh, I've got a lot of verses written down here, scriptures, but I don't think I'm going to use most of them. We understand. But over in Obadiah, I want to read a verse. Let me see here. In my Bible, it's on page 849. You got Joel and Amos and Jonah and Obadiah and Jonah. But verse 21 of Obadiah, final verse says, "And saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." And those saviors are the overcomers. They're the sons of God. Creation is groaning and weaning for the appearing of the sons of God, for the saviors that will come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Then shall the kingdom be the Lord's. Revelation chapter 14, or excuse me, 17. Revelation 17, verse 14. It says, "And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." Hallelujah. I want to be one that's counted, that's called, that's chosen, and then faithful. I want to be one that is with the King of kings and the Lord of lords when he comes to be crowned King of the kingdom. Amen. Revelations chapter 22 says, "And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the river of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads," in our foreheads. I've got "their" marked out in my Bible, and I've written in "our" and "my." That's the way I like to read it. "And I shall see his face, and his name shall be in my forehead. And there shall be no night there, and I will need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth me light. And I shall reign with him forever and ever." That's the way I like to read it. Hallelujah. And when I read it that way, then you just say that you're reading it the same way for yourself. Amen. Amen. Well, I think I will turn back over here and read us all of these things that God says are for the overcomer. Let's just look at them here a minute. Revelations chapter 2 or 3, it begins here. And if you want to take a pencil and mark them down as we go, because I've got mine all numbered. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Okay, we start in Revelations chapter 2.
Revelations chapter 2 and number 1 is in verse 7. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God," or the kingdom of God, in the midst of the kingdom of God. Number 2, verse 11. And again it says, "He that hath an ear," so it's, and that's repeated almost every time. So we'll go down and read. "He that hath, that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Bless God. Number 3, verse 17. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it." Number 4, verse 26. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works..." Oh, I thought everything was by grace. Oh, that's funny. It don't say a word thing about grace there. It says works. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works, where unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Man, going to have power over the nations if we obey God's word and keep his works. Okay, that was number 4. Number 5, chapter 3, verse 5. Number 5 is verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So Jesus himself says that he's going to declare my name before the Father and before the angels if I am faithful and overcome. So it is my responsibility that I determine that I will overcome. You have to determine that you will overcome. You have to determine you're going to get the well dug out, and you're going to keep it cleaned out, and you're going to hide the word in your heart that you not sin against God, and you're going to walk in holiness and righteousness, and accept deliverance in every area of your life that you find that you need it, so that you'll be a vessel, how? Without spot or wrinkle. For God says that's the way the overcomer will be. They'll be without spot and wrinkle. Then he says, "Be ye holy." It's not an idea that you want to be. God says, you determine, be holy. And whatever God shows you about being that way, then it's up to you to take the responsibility and do it. And it's not the same to every one of us. It's different to every single person. There are no two persons that the same requirement is exactly the same in every single person. For every person is different, just as every snowflake is different, every person on the face of the earth is different, and God's requirement is to you. And God's requirement to me is to me and not to you. But God's book is the requirement to all of us. So his word is what the pattern is through Jesus and by Jesus. Okay, number 6, verse 12. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." There, we're back to those pillars that hold up the temple. And God says that if we overcome, we'll be part of those pillars that hold up the temple of God. "And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." So, you needn't worry about what your new name's going to be. God's going to take care of it and give you that in his time. I have been down the road in lots of things and heard lots of things. And these people there is a group of people that have already all gotten their new names. Well, bless them. But I'm going to wait when the Lord gives it to me in the kingdom. And he's going to write it there, and it'll be there. And whatever it is, I will rejoice in it because God will have given it to me. Amen. Number 7, verse 21. It says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. So we're going to be kinship to royalty because we're going to sit in the throne. He said, even as I also overcame, so as Jesus overcome, it's required that we overcome. Hear what he said, even as also I overcome, you also are required to overcome. And am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Number 8, chapter 21, verse 7. Number 8 is new beginnings. Hallelujah. And we've gone through 7, and they were glorious. But here, this tops all of them. Chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son, daughter. Amen. So that's my goal. And God's purpose is to have a kingdom for his son Jesus, and to have subjects, and of the creation, our creation, was that there would be subjects in God's kingdom for Jesus to have a kingdom over. And I want to be one of those who's an overcomer, who will be part of the kingdom of the living God, not just a subject in the kingdom, but I want to be part of that kingdom to rule and reign under the authority and rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And then the Lord says, over in 22, turn the page over, verse 13, and he says this. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, it's impossible for a finite mind to understand that verse. And God doesn't tell us to try and figure it out. He just makes a statement, just like he said, be holy. He just makes a statement. He says he's the beginning and the end. But then he says in the next verse, blessed are they that do his commandments. And the only place we're going to find his commandments, to be able to do them so that we can become an overcomer, is to hide this word in our heart, to eat this book, that it become a living part of us, that we live by the book, not because somebody tells us to, but because I desire to. If you do it because somebody tells you to, you're wasting your time, because it will be as dross. But if you take this book and live by this book because you desire to hide this book in your heart and to live by it, then it will become a living reality to you. And God is looking for men and women and boys and girls who will take his word and make it live within them, so that when they speak, it is written. The word of the living God and the spirit of the living God will back up that word, that it is written, and will fulfill that which is needed in the hearts and lives of men and women. And today God is searching and looking for me and for you to determine that I will serve God. And I desire to be part of that kingdom, God's purpose of the universe, a kingdom for his son and subjects in that kingdom. And I determine that that is my goal and my determination, that I shall be part of that company of people that God says, you're my son, come and inherit all things that I have prepared for my son, because you also are my son. I don't know where to go from here, except that God convicts you and calls you to determine in your heart that you want to be part of God's kingdom. Not just a subject in the kingdom, but be part of the rulership of the kingdom of the living God. And that opportunity is offered to every one of us. That opportunity is offered to us if we so desire. And I desire, and I also desire that you desire to make that the goal of your life from this day forward. That God be God and there be none other besides Him. Father, I ask that the Holy Ghost move in my heart and my life and in the heart and lives of everyone that hears my voice. That you shall burn by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost within them a desire to live before Thee. That the kingdom of the living God shall become a reality unto them. That they shall see out through the eons of time the kingdom of the living God. And that they shall desire to be part of that kingdom that you have created for your Son, Jesus. And Father, as we lift up Jesus and make Him Lord of our lives, help us then, Lord, to hide Your Word in our hearts, that we shall live by that Word, and that it shall be a living reality, and we shall walk. There shall be a light to our path, and that we shall walk therein. The crooked way shall be made straight, and the rough place shall be made smooth, because we use and live by the Word of the living God, that it is written, thus saith the Word of the living God, to set the captives free, those that are afflicted and sick, to raise them up. For it is written, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to anoint with oil and you shall raise up, and if they committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. In the authority of your name, of the name of your Son Jesus, we shall cast out devils and set the captives free, and loose them from the bondage that we've gotten under because of the sins of our ancestors and our own sins, and the curses that have come down upon us because of the rebellion against you that's been in our ancestral line. Help us, O God, forgive us and cleanse us, O God, through your Son Jesus and by the blood of Calvary. O God, place within us a desire and determination that the Spirit of the living God shall move and work in our hearts and lives, that we shall not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Thus we shall walk forth declaring that in His name there is victory in Him. Thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Lord, help us not to be ashamed. Help us, Lord, increase our faith. Forgive us our unbelief. Help us, O God, that the word of the Lord shall rise up within us. There shall be deliverance and healing because of your word that comes forth by the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it. Lord, I desire to see the manifestation of your glory in our midst, and in my life and in the lives of our your people. A manifestation of the glory of the Holy Ghost to move and work in our lives, that you shall be glorified as we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He alone is King. Jesus is King. King of kings, Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He. And tonight we honor and reverence Thy presence in our midst. And I thank You for it, and I praise You for it, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 and amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Greatly to be praised is He, and Jesus is His name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, we got to stand up and praise the King. We got to praise the Lord. Jesus is His name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy is the Lord. Mighty is His name. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the blood of the whipping post. Thank you for the stripes that brings healing and deliverance. Thank you for the authority of your name to set the captives free. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. I praise you tonight. I bless your name. I praise you. Holy is the Lord and mighty to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Praise Jesus. I pray that there be, if there be anything
in our hearts that are contrary to the Word of God, that the Holy Ghost will bring conviction upon us and convict us of the error of our ways and cause us to repent. Awake us in the night season, Lord. Show us the wickedness of our hearts. Lord, your Word says they're desperately wicked and no man can know them. Lord, show us our hearts. Turn the light of conviction upon us in the night season, Lord, or whenever or wherever, that, Lord God, that we shall see that we can repent and that we can turn from the wickedness of our ways, that we'll be accepted in the Beloved and be worthy to be called the Son of the Living God. Father, I thank you and I praise you and I ask that you do that to every one of us, that we may walk before you in righteousness and holiness, and that will be said that God, that Jesus shines forth through my life and through our lives, because we walk with thee. Just as Enoch walked with thee and was not. Help us, O God, to walk with thee, that men will know that Jesus lives in our hearts and rules and reigns, because he is seen in our actions and in our words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the Holy Ghost to go with each one of us, from the youngest to the eldest, that we shall not forget that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that we're subjects for the kingdom of the living God. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.